Well, sir, it's late afternoon as our scene opens now, and here in the living room of a small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. Victor Gook and his son, Mr. Rush Gook. The gentlemen face each other across the library table, competing briskly in a rummy tournament. Listen.
I have just toted up the score.
Couldn't have been much of a job. We've only played one game.
I have just toted up the score, and I find Victor has won one game and Rush has won no game. Victor won, Rush nothing.
Okay, here comes the ticket.
Victor won, Rush nothing.
I never seen such a fella for gloating.
Figures don't lie. It's right here in black and white. Victor has won all the games.
Oh, all the games.
I leave the world to draw its own inferences from this data as to which one of us is the better rummy player.
Shall we start?
My turn?
Sure, I dealt.
Uh-huh. Now for another smashing victory. Mama, I assume, is downtown shopping for wash rag.
Thimble Club meeting today.
Oh, to be sure. Miss Heddle's house?
Miss Trogle's house.
My, what a blunder. You discarded the jack of hearts and it fits right into my hand perfectly.
How was I to know that?
A good rummy player knows such things instinctively. A good rummy player has a sort of uncanny sense.
Mom, home now. Mom?
Hi.
Greetings, Grace. I mean, the greetings, Dave.
Hi.
Stale joke.
I beg your pardon?
That's getting to be a stale joke. You're always twisting what you say around.
Well, if this isn't a case of sour grapes, you're mad because I'm a superior rummy player, so you resort to insults.
Don't do their overshoe out in the middle of the backyard.
Welcome home, Dr. Sleech. Lay down in the davenport and rest your throat and don't worry about a thing.
Your overshoe out in the middle of the backyard, Rush?
Well, I guess so.
Fine place for it. Here, take my hat and coat.
I'll have to take time off from this rummy game.
How horrible.
Oh.
How was Thimble Club meeting, little uncle?
Rotten.
The ladies disagreed, had an awful fight, and dispersed tearfully.
I about dispersed tearfully.
Tell all to the man you love.
Oh, you wouldn't care.
I would so. I would so. If something of a tragic nature transpired at Limp Thimble Club, you're bound to tell me all about it sooner or later. So why not right now and have it over with?
Ms. Applerod again.
Huh?
You have to trot to the grocery store, Willie.
Okay.
Seems like she can let things run along peaceful just so long and then has to get out her tablespoon and stir up craziness.
Well, tell.
I got a petition in my pocketbook I'm supposed to take around to everybody's house and have them sign 1,000 signatures.
Huh?
Ain't that ridiculous?
What kind of a petition is it?
A petition demanding that the city tears down the Bright Kentucky Hotel.
No, Mom.
Yeah.
I will not sign.
1,000 signatures I'm supposed to get. Tramp around to 1,000 different houses and rap on the door and ask the people to write their names. I don't give a darn about the Bright Kentucky Hotel. City can tear down the Bright Kentucky Hotel or leave it stand or send it to Detroit, Michigan, Parcel Post, and it won't interfere with my dead body.
I will not sign.
It's about time Miss Applerod got worked up over something, I guess.
Why is she interested in the Bright Kentucky Hotel?
I don't imagine she is, really. It just provides an excuse to whip up some excitement. Here's the idea. She's heard the Bright Kentucky Hotel's been condemned as unsafe.
Well, it's been condemned for 20 years.
Yes, but she just heard about it. So, all right, let's make the city tear down the Bright Kentucky Hotel. Let's circulate a petition and accumulate 1,000 signatures on it. Here, Ms. Gook, you circulate the petition.
I will not sign.
Huh?
I will not sign.
Who's asking you to sign? Threw the business right in my lap. Had it all planned out ahead of time.
Who's this, Miss Applerod?
Yes, with Miss Brighton and Cahoot. Us ladies get together to sew and chat and be sociable. We don't care about tearing down hotels and writing letters complaining about the Congress and demanding that the government do this, that, and other things. We just want to sew and chat and be sociable. But no, not that for Miss Applerod. Let's make the Chicago Norton Railroad run their tracks 5 miles outside of town. Let's demand that the state legislature give us another hard road. Let's bother somebody.
Mom, do you realize that if the Bright Kentucky Hotel was torn down, it would leave Mr. Gumpox homeless? And it would leave Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap jobless? I will not sign.
Yeah, I had it all planned out ahead of time. We were sitting there in Miss Trogle's living room, talking and laughing and sewing. All of a sudden, up shot Miss Applerod's hand, and, Madam President, may I have the floor? course. I knew right then and there she had something up her sleeve. My heart sank. Ruthie always looks terrified when Miss Apparat trots out some enormous idea. Her mouth drops open and her eyes get wild. I had to laugh at her this afternoon.
No. I will not sign.
Oh, quit saying that every couple seconds.
Never.
You have to skip to the grocery store. Well, anyway, here was Miss Apparat with her Madam President. May I have the floor? I dug my gravel out of my pocket and slammed it on the arm of Miss Drogel's rocking chair. Yes, Miss Apparat, I said. And then it comes. It has come to my attention, ladies, that the establishment known as the Bright Kentucky Hotel has been condemned as unsafe. It is a very old, shabby, worn-out building and is apt to collapse at any time. Also, it is a fire trap. In addition to that, the Bright Kentucky Hotel is extremely ugly and gives people riding on railroad trains that pass by the impression that our town is a miserable, wretched place to live. It struck me that we of the Thimble Club should cope with this situation. Let us demand that the city demolish the Bright Kentucky Hotel.
I will not sign.
All the ladies, of course, sat silent. They didn't care. They all sat silent except Miss Brighton. Yes, yes, indeed, she says. And then Miss Apparat pulled off an old stunt of hers. She glanced at Ruthie.
What for?
Because Ruthie's such a timid little rabbit.
Oh.
Hasn't got the gumption to disagree, see?
Mm.
What do you think, Miss Dembottom, says Miss Apparat. And Ruthie flushes up and nods her head and acts like she wishes she could go somewhere and hide.
Oh,
she's a cute one, that Miss Apparat. Went on to say, well, we've heard a few expressions, and I guess everybody feels the same as I do. I've taken the liberty to draw up a petition demanding that the city tear down this Bright Kentucky Hotel, and I think our worthy president, Miss Gook, should act as our representative in accumulating signatures. 1,000 signatures seems to me a suitable goal. So there's the business. I got a fine petition over there in my pocketbook, and now all I have to do is tramp around to 1,000 different houses and ask people to write down the name.
I will not sign.
Oh, ish, Rush.
Never.
My chums from the barber shop will be thrown out in the street if the city tears down the Bright Kentucky. Alf Washington, Stacy Yop, and Y.I.Y.Y. Skeeper.
Our garbage man, Mr. Gumpox, will be homeless.
Yeah.
Smelly Clark's Uncle Strap is night clerk at the Bright Kentucky. He will be left jobless.
You suppose the city actually would rip down that building if I showed up with my piece of paper with 1,000 names on it?
I don't know. It might.
The thing about it is, I don't care. And another thing.
Yeah?
When I rap on somebody's door to get their signature, I'm supposed to be worked up, see?
Worked up?
Sure. I'm Mrs. Gook. I represent the Thimble Club. I want you to sign this petition demanding that the city demolish the Bright Kentucky Hotel. The Bright Kentucky Hotel is a fire trap and an eyesore. Are us citizens going to stand around like sticks of wood while this horrible condition exists? No. La-di-da. Hubbly-hoy. See? I'm not up to it. Besides, people hesitate to sign stuff people come to their door with. I wouldn't put my name down on any paper some strange woman handed me. Remember Martin Jordle there in Sycamore?
No.
Sure. Married Alvira Eggstock. Martin Jordle got thrown in prison 40 years.
What for?
Because some woman come to the front door with some document or other and his wife signed it.
What was the document?
Nobody ever knew. And Martin Jordle was as nice a man as ever lived. This woman come to the house one afternoon and asked Alvira if she'd mind writing her name on a piece of paper, and Alvira done it. And that evening, police officers showed up and put handcuffs on Martin and threw him in prison. I guess he's still there. Yes, I know he is, because Dottie Brain people told me in a letter she sent him a box of fudge.
Well, I can't imagine what kind of a document that was.
Oh, just some little old bit of paper. Sure taught Alvira Jordle a lesson.
Taught Martin a lesson, too.
Oh, sure. Prison officials can't get him to sign anything. Dottie Brain people said they brought a pardon from the governor into his cell, and he wouldn't even sign that. Take it away, boys, he says. I'm not going to fall for the same dodge twice. And that's the way the ladies will probably feel when I rap on their door and whip out my good old petition. Oh, sirree, sir. Not for me, sir.
Mm-hmm. I will not sign.
Nobody's asking you to sign.
I will not sign.
You have to talk to the grocery store.
What do you wish purchased at the grocery store?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to go see what we need.
Mm.
Come out in the kitchen when I holler.
Mm.
You very hungry tonight, Vic?
Yeah.
I better fix something substantial then, huh?
Yeah. Finished the rummy game?
Okay.
Who's play?
Mine.
In toting up the score, I see the figures read Victor 1, Rush nothing.
Mm.
It is certainly plain who is the better player.
Mm.
Victor 1, Rush nothing.
Gov, you know that petition of mine?
Huh?
I will not sign.
Mm.
Never.